Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. In fact, today I'm going to be going over all of the biggest lessons I learned during 2018 as I'm getting prepared for world domination in 2019.
So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
Hey, everyone. I've been wanting this podcast for a while. In fact, I think my brother who edits these podcasts is about to kill me because I keep telling him to record this. I'm going to record it. I haven't. And I was going to record it during Christmas break and then during New Year's. And then now New Year's is over. And then tomorrow I'm going on the Two Comma Club X cruise and I still haven't recorded it. I was like, okay, I'm doing this. So, and I think the reason why is because there's so many amazing things. This year was insane. It's still hard for me to fathom everything that happened, over the last 12 months. Last year we ended the year really, really good. We went from, think about ClickFunnels year one, first year was 3 months, so whatever, $1 million, right, or whatever it was. But the first full year was 10 million. The second one was 30 million. The third year was 70-something million. And this year we passed over 100 million, which is crazy. It's insane. I didn't think that was even possible. But it did. And there's so many things that you learn at scale when things get bigger. the positive things at scale are way better and the negative things are way worse. And there's just so much stuff and there's so many things I want to cover and talk about. And I was like, how do I break these into a bunch of things? And so I kind of broke them down into 5 different things. They weren't the full everything I learned from here, but I think some really powerful things that that were good that I want to share that I think will help you guys. So that is kind of the goal and the game plan. Some of these things are personal, some are business, some are management, some are long-term strategic thinking, and there's a bunch of different things in between. So with that said, I'm going to jump right into this. All right, so number one, the first thing that I think was really, really big this year was shifting a lot of what's the best way to say it? It has to do with health, but it's not being healthy, right? It wasn't I was eating different to get a six pack. Someday I still want one, but that wasn't the reason why. It wasn't eating healthy to look at. It was eating healthy because I needed to put better fuel in my body, right? I realized that I'm competing against entrepreneurs at all different levels. I'm competing against companies that get hundreds of millions of dollars in funding. I'm competing against people that have, a team of 2,000 employees working with them. I'm competing against people that have, 30 different people with MBAs working for, that's what I'm competing against, right? So it's how do I compete against these people? I can't do it based on more schooling or more money. I have to do it based on more energy, the output that I'm able to put into the work that I'm doing and my team and everything. And so I had a big realization, I needed to change, the fuel that I'm putting into my body. And it's interesting now, and I'm going to share this with you guys, and some of you guys are going to think that I'm completely ridiculous, and I probably am, but I want to put it in perspective because I know a lot of times people say, I can't eat healthy because it's too expensive. And I think that's, for most of you guys, it's one of those things eating healthier will actually, in most situations, if you're an entrepreneur and you're building a business, it should make you more money, and it should be one of the number one focuses. And so I started shifting the way I ate and what I was eating, and it kind of started with, I was listening to a podcast with Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss, I believe. And Tim was asking Tony, well, what's your morning routine? What do you eat? And it was so funny because Tony's for breakfast, I have salmon. For lunch, I have salmon. For dinner, I have salmon. And he's like, you have salmon 3 meals a day? And Tony's like, yeah, it's not food for me. It's fuel. And now the negative side effect of that is Tony ended up getting mercury poisoning from too much salmon. So that's not necessarily the right thing. But the statement he made is it's just fuel for me. It's not food. It's just fuel. I'm just eating to have the fuel for the energy I need to be able to produce what I got to produce today. And that had the impact on me. I heard that and I was like, oh my gosh, look at some of this crap I eat. It's not good for me. And I still don't eat amazing all the time, right? That's why I don't have my six pack yet. That's why I still got my love handles. We're going on the Two Comma Club X cruise tomorrow. And I'm like, dang it, I was going to have a six pack by now, but I don't, not even close. But I realize that I'm using food for fuel. And so the way I eat is different now. In the mornings I wake up, And it's like, hey, what's the fuel I need right now? And so for me, it's a lot of water, right? Alex Sharfin drilled that in my head. And so I drink a ton of water. I hyperhydrate in the morning, right? And then I look at the supplements I take. I'm a big believer in ketones. And not that I'm in a ketogenic diet, but I think there's fuel in ketones. So I always do Pruvit's supplements every single morning and every single night. I love their ketone supplement. And not because I'm biased. They built a company. I had a little piece in it, but you know, Brian Underwood and the team over there, they built an amazing company. They became the category king in ketosis. And so like their supplements are second to none. Like they... I know behind the scenes of the science of what they've been doing, and they're on, I think they're fourth versions of the ketone salts, and it's just like everyone else, if you're buying this stuff, like ketone salts on the market, like they're using salts from like generation one, generation two, and these guys are already like number four. Like what they have is so much superior, and it's good. So even if you're not in a ketosis diet, like taking the ketones is good. It's fuel for your brain. It makes you feel good, and it tastes like candy, so that helps. Number two, I found this other ketone drink. It's called Human, HVMN, and it's expensive. They're $30 a shot. In fact, I'm about to take one when I get off this podcast. The $30 a shot, you take this thing, and like I feel it's fuel. Like it dumps into your body, and it's amazing. It's ketone esters, but it's $30 per shot, right? The Pruvit things are like $5 a shot. So between just those two things, like I'm at $35 in fuel, like first thing in the morning, along with my water, right? And then the next thing I have is I've been lifting heavy as well. And so because of that, I need more proteins than I normally do in my life. And so I'm trying to get more proteins in. And I'm allergic to whey protein. And so it's like if I put whey fuel into my body, like I literally swell up. I get tired. Like it does all sorts of bad things for me. So what I do is I do a bag of bone broth a day. And the bone broth is not cheap either. It's $30 a bag for this bone broth that I drink. And so it's like by lunchtime, I'm at $65 just between the ketones and the bone broth, right? But that's fuel I'm putting into my body. And then if you look at the supplements, like I'm probably close to $100 a day in fuel supplements I'm putting into my body. And it has meant the world of difference. Like my energy level, my excitement, my ability to produce is better when I have better fuel in my body, right? And so that was kind of the first thing. And I know most of you guys are not going to be able to spend $100 a day on fuel for your body like I am. But I would recommend this year is to like start thinking about it. Like food is fuel, right? And there's times that food's not fuel. There's times when like I go out with my wife and the food I'm eating is not for fuel. It's for social thing, right? And I know that like, hey, we're going out to sushi. This is not fuel. This is social hours. So I'm going to have whatever I want, as much as I want. I'm just going to pig out because I don't need to be on right now. I just need to socially eat. And that's what I'm doing. I'm going to enjoy the process, right? So I'm not the hardcore weight loss guy who's like, I'm never going to eat healthy. It's like, I know when to eat healthy. And like, if I do want to eat junk, I eat it at night before I go to bed. That way I can pass out and let my body like figure out how to digest all that crap and get it out of me. So I have energy again for the next day, right? But during the day, man, I'm eating healthy all the time to make sure I've got the energy to be able to accomplish all that I'm doing. And so that was kind of the first thing this year is just that big aha from Tony Robbins, which was, this is just my fuel. This is not food. This is my fuel. And looking at it from that lens, and it shifted how I started looking at stuff and shifted how I was investing the man. And if I was, you know, I think Sharfin said, like, if you had a $1 million racehorse, like, what would you feed it? You wouldn't feed it McDonald's and fast food. You'd feed it the best food you can, right? And it's like, you are the jockey. You are the racehorse for your company. Like, you should be doing the same thing. And then when Tony said, you know, food is fuel, I was like, okay, that's it. Like, what am I fueling my body with? And so throughout the day, I feel good. And I wish I was perfect because, again, I wouldn't eat garbage at night or on weekends or whatever, but I'm not there yet. Maybe this year will be the year that happens. And next two Comma Club X cruise, I'll have a six-pack. But until then, I'm looking at food as fuel. So that's number one. All right, number two. We've done a lot of funnels, tons of funnels, millions of funnels, not really millions, but you may know that I'm slightly obsessed with them. And every time I see a new funnel type, I try it out. We test it. We try a bunch of stuff. And I think I have a new favorite type of funnel. And we relaunched it yesterday. So if you go to onefunnelway.com, you'll see our One Funnel Way challenge. I am obsessed with challenges. Earlier this year, Natasha Hazlett, who's going to be speaking at Funnel Hacking Live, she wrote a book and she started selling it through a traditional book funnel and did okay, but didn't really crush it. And so she decided to change that from a book funnel into this challenge funnel. She kind of made it. She said, oh, I'm going to have my book and it's going to go with the challenge. People pay $47 for the challenge, get the book for free. And I'm taking this live challenge experience. And she did it, and the first one crushed. I think she had over six figures in sales. And she messaged me. She's like, Russell, I cracked the code. Like, we've never had something hit like this before. And she ended up doing four or five more challenges throughout the year, and she just barely passed to Comma Club, and it was amazing. So she's speaking at Funnel Hacking Live about challenges. But then she did challenges with some of her clients, her students, and other people, and she showed a bunch of other people. And everyone who's doing these challenges, it's killing it, right? And then I saw Garrett White pops up with his challenge. If you go to thekingskit.com, you see his challenge. And it was like a four-week challenge as well. So I funnel hacked him. I bought his challenge. I went through the process. And I called Garrett up. I was like, dude, give me all your info. Give me the intel. And I picked his brain on how he's doing his and what he saw and the pros and the cons. And then talked to Natasha and talked to other people. And I was like, this is the future. It's forced consumption content. The biggest problem most of us have with our clients is not that the biggest problem is not that the stuff we're teaching isn't good. The biggest problem is they don't ever actually go through the stuff, right? How many of you guys have bought a course and it sits on the shelf, right? And you never read it, you never go through it, or you know, you bought the members area, someday I'm gonna log in, but you never do, or you bought the book and it's sitting there, right? The challenges force you to consume the stuff, right? So we launched our very first challenge, and it was a 30-day challenge, and we had 7,500 people sign up for this challenge. And what was amazing is every single day, it's like they would get a video from me, talking about a strategy, videos from Julie walking through the tactics, how to apply that strategy. And Stephen Larson would get on live and like motivate them and push them and yell them and get them to do the thing. And that happened every single day. And after 30 days, all the content disappeared and it was gone forever. And you either took advantage of it or you didn't. And that was it. And what was amazing is because everyone knew it was disappearing before, because it was going away, because it's like if you don't use it, you lose it. It forced people to wake up and actually do the tasks and do the things. And holy crap, the weirdest thing happens. When someone actually does what you say, they actually have success. Okay? And so the challenge is like the best way to get a result for your end customer. I think every business should have a challenge. And so if you look at me over the next 12 months, you will notice that we have onefunnelaway.com as the front end challenge, but then it'll also become the back end of every front end funnel we have. All of our books, all of our things, everything leads into the One Funnel Away challenge. They go through this challenge. We have a chance to actually affect them, actually give them the result they want. When they have the result, then they stick and they do more and more with you. Natasha was telling me on hers, the last day of her challenge, she has a webinar where she sells her course, and 80% of the people who complete the challenge buy the course. I think it's like 25% of all challenge people who sign up for the challenge buy the course. 80% of those who complete the course, 80% of the people who are taking action every single day end up buying the thing at the end. Garrett White sells a $500 a month continuity at the end of his challenge, and he was getting like 25% of the men who signed up to join the $500 a month continuity. Like, it's one of the best ascension vehicles in the world. And so, like I said, I think challenges are huge. I think it's the future. I think every business should be having one. I know for us, that was kind of all the funnels we rolled out last year, that was the one that was like the most shockingly surprising to me. And I was like, oh man, this is something we got to focus on, which is why January 2nd, the One Funnel Challenge launched officially again. And day one, we had like 900 people sign up. And I think we had I think it's like a little less than 2 weeks before the challenge actually starts. And we'll probably end up with another 5,000 or 6,000 people who signed up. And we're going to run it every other month throughout the whole year. And it'll be the fuel that changes people's lives and gets them to want to ascend with us as a company. So challenges number two. So number one thing from the year was food is fuel, and like focusing on the fuel I put in my body. Number two is running contests. All right, number three, I did a whole podcast episode on this a little while ago. But it was the big aha I had after going to this retreat with a bunch of really smart dudes. And the big aha I had was that, you know, I had been an all-star, like, you know, in business. I had been writing copy and designing funnels and doing all these things. And I've been trying to build this team. But the problem was, like, as an all-star, I wasn't, like, a good team player. I was, like, you know, my team would try to do something. I'm like, you messed up. And I'd rip it out of their hands. And I would just go dunk the ball myself and try to get all the credit about how great I was, right? And I was realizing, like, if I wanted to grow, like, I can't go from 100 million to a billion by me being a better all-star, right? Like, I don't care how good you are, Michael Jordan, you know, there's only one Michael Jordan, and like you can't get better, like you stop growing at a certain point. And the only way to continue to grow is to shift from being an all-star to being a coach. And that's been a really interesting transition for me. It hasn't been as easy as I thought, but it's been really rewarding, really fulfilling. In fact, just our internal agency, like when they had, in the last quarter of the year, they had two funnels do over $1 million. And so we gave all people on our team a Two Comma Club award because they were the ones executing on it, right? Like, I gave some initial vision and strategy, but then they went and actually did it. And I think for, you know, one of the biggest things this year for us was just really focusing more on building our team and training our team, and less of like me doing the thing and me stepping back and like not doing the thing, but coaching the people who are doing it. And it's hard, it's different, it's definitely, anyway, it's definitely like a different skill set, but super, super important. And I think for all of you guys, like as you grow from yourself to a team to, you know, whatever, if you're a startup, you want to grow to a million, from a million to 10, 10 to 100, it really has to come back to you learning how to become a coach. You being an all-star, you can't get past a certain level. And I got pretty dang far. You know, we got, who knows, $70, $80 million a year in sales with me trying to be the all-star. But as we shifted to this concept of coaching our team and having them be all-stars, that's like when the growth started hitting again. And I'm looking at that right now inside the development team with Todd and Ryan. Those guys, they've done such a good job of not just coding everything. It's like they've built this team and they have these processes in place, and they've become amazing coaches for these people. And now things move faster than they used to because of that. So transitioning from all-star to coach was another big, big one for me this year. So number one, the fuel we put in our body. Number two, contest funnels. Number three, transition from all-star to coach. All right, number four, as I was doing this whole process of like coaching people, and it's funny because like I've become mildly obsessed with like personality profiling, right? Like the DISC test, I love 16 personalities, which is, you know, a version of Myers-Briggs. I love all these different things, and I've been obsessed with them and learning them all. But this is one, like, maybe this is the test, I don't know, but it was kind of a realization I had as I was working with people on my team. And now that I understand it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I look at things through a different lens. But I realized that there's like three tiers of how people work. There's nothing bad about any of them. They're just different. And I think before I thought that things were bad because like I thought one way and somebody else thought a different way. And I was like, like they're bad. They're not doing a good job. And it's like, no, it's not the case. There's just a different skill set. And so the three levels, and I'll kind of map these out for you. The first one is there are people who strategically figure stuff out, right? Like they sit down, like here's the strategy of how it works, and they can see this vision of like how these things work, how they connect, and they see the patterns, and like here's the strategy about how something works, right? And so that's one type of person. The second type of person is someone who's a manager, right? They're able to take this strategic vision, and then they can plug people in and they can manage those people to go and do the actual thing, right? And they're really good at the management of the process and management of the people and kind of plugging in the systems and doing all that kind of stuff. And then the third tier is people who actually do the work, the doers, right? Who actually go out there and they go and they implement the thing. And again, I think for a long time in my life, I was like, oh, well, you know, strategic thinkers are the most important part, or oh, the managers are the most, or maybe the doers are, or whatever. But it's like all of them are so vitally important. And if you're struggling right now in your business, my guess is that you're probably missing one of those. You may be a great strategic person, like you have this vision of where you want to go, but you suck at managing people and you're not a doer. And so you're floundering, right? Or you're a doer. And you're like someone gives me a task, man, I will do it. I will crush any task. But it's like, it's just me doing it. It's not a whole bunch of people because I'm not good at managing. And I don't really know what to do unless someone tells me what to do, right? And vice versa. So it's like, it's understanding, it's like for a team to be effective, you have to have all of those. And, you know, we spent a lot of time this year working on org chart. And it was interesting as we build org charts, like there's this flow, you know, like it looks like a big pyramid scheme, right? Your CEO and it moves down to this level and this level. And I used to always, like, I don't know, always kind of hate it. I'm like, what's the guy on the bottom going to think? Like, oh, like they're clear down here in this branch and this tree. And it's like, no, like it doesn't matter where in the tree you are. The tree, like the whole org chart is essential for the success of the company, right? Like there's got to be people at the top of this thing who are strategic thinkers. And a lot of times they make more money, not all the time, but there's a lot of value in strategic thinking, right? And then underneath the strategic thinkers, then you have this layer of managers who are managing people. And down below there, there's these doers who are doing the actual work. And what's interesting, I see a lot of times where we would have someone in our team who's a really good doer, they're an amazing programmer, amazing whatever. And so we're like, oh man, this guy's so amazing. Let's move them up the org chart. Let's make them a manager. And also we put this person who's like a rock star doer, we make them a manager. And it's like they were so successful as a doer, but they suck as a manager. It's like they don't have management skills. Or we bring them up and say, hey, like, what do you think about this? Like strategically think through it. And they're like, I don't know. And also they fail because we put them in a role where they're supposed to be strategically thinking. And it's like, no, you're not supposed to be strategically thinking. You're a doer. You're supposed to go out there and actually do the thing. And I think, you know, I look at our org chart now and it's like there's people who are – who are doers who make more than the people who are managing them, right? And that's okay, because sometimes there's a doer who's insanely good at this thing, like, and they should make more than their manager. You know, I think in my head I always had this org chart where the, you know, as you go down, everyone gets paid less and less and less. It's not necessarily that way. It's understanding, like, the value of the role of what they're doing is what they should be paid. But a doer can get paid more than a strategic thinker. It's just, it's a different level. And so I think for me to really understanding that, it's like, okay, there's strategic people, there's management people, and there's doer people. And understand those are three different personality types and skill sets, and all are essential to you being successful. Okay. And so what I would encourage all of you guys to do is sit back today and be like, okay, like, which one of those am I? Am I a strategic thinker? Can I sit down in front of a whiteboard, map out a vision? This is what we're going to do and what it's going to look like and da, da, da. And if you're not, that's okay. Don't feel bad, but you need to get a strategic thinker on your team. You need a partner with someone who's going to be that strategic thinker, right? And the next question is like, okay, am I a manager? Do I love managing people and processes and plugging things in place and make sure everything's working together? Because if not, like, I'm not super, like, I've become adapted, like, I'm able to do that, but I don't love that. It's not my favorite thing, right? I should not be spending my time there. I need to find people who are really good at management. Like, there's this process I was trying to manage over the last 3 or 4 months, and it never got done because, like, I'm not that good at management, and I just hand it off to somebody, and it'll probably be done in, like, an hour now, because that person, that's their skill set. They're amazing at managing and then doing, right? Like, it's my role in the company. Like, in my dream job, I would just be a funnel builder. I'd be doing it all day long. Like, that's my favorite part of it. Unfortunately for me and for the company, I'm more valuable as a strategic thinker, but man, I love doing it too, right? And so there's people on my team that, like, they just do it all day long. They write copy, or they get to build funnels, they get to design. I'm like, I always tell them how jealous I'm, like, I wish I could just be a doer, just doing the thing that you're amazing at. Like, that's the thing that for me, like, I would love to do. In fact, my second, after, you know, someday if we ever sell ClickFunnels, I'm going to come back and work for ClickFunnels and just be a funnel builder. Like, that would be my dream. None of the stress of owning a company and all the fun of just building the funnels. That'd be amazing. And so just understand that, like, there's strategic thinkers, there's managers, and there's doers, and being okay with, like, first off, figuring out who you are, and second off is, like, surrounding yourself with those other types of people, because they are all essential for you to be successful. And so, yeah, that was another big aha I had as I was going to this coaching phase and building the teams out. People I was super frustrated with until I realized, like, oh, well, they're not a strategic thinker. Why do I keep trying to give this person strategic thinking opportunities? They're an amazing manager. Like, let me get someone strategic to figure this out, you know, build out the strategic vision, hand it to the manager, and then they will run with it and they will make it amazing. But, like, being upset at the manager because they're not strategic thinking is wrong. Like, I was in the wrong there, right? Or vice versa. Like, you get the strategic thinker who's, like dreaming up all these ideas, and we're like, hey, go manage, like, make it happen. And, like, I don't know how to manage. And then we're angry at them. It's like, no, like that's what they are. Like, it's a superpower. Each of these are superpowers. Like, understand that and coordinate people in the right spot. And get your strategic thinkers, and then to cast the vision, the managers to set the processes, and the doers to go and execute on the work. And when all three are working in synergy, that's when you get magic happening. All right.
As a business-to-business marketer, your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles are long, and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You have direct access to and the ability to build relationships with decision makers, 1 billion members, 180 million senior level executives, and 10 million C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools, but specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms. You'll work with partners who respect the B2B world that you operate in. 79% of B2B content marketers said that LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. Here at ClickFunnels, we also use LinkedIn ads to get more of our high-end dream customers we can't target anywhere else online. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. All you got to do is go to linkedin.com/clicks. C-L-I-C-K-S to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/clicks. Terms and conditions may apply. You've already done the hard part. You started your business, taken the leaps to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make more money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode in a great new podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about this. You learn how to identify your target audience and where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most out of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business is an original podcast from Amazon and answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own business, looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to grow, This is Small Business has practical tips that you can use today. And this show covers all sorts of small business topics. Coming up this month, you'll have a chance to learn how to grow your email list from one of my favorite people on the planet, Jenna Kutcher. And you're also going to get step-by-step guidance for accelerating your business growth with Amy Porterfield, another one of my favorites. So make sure you go and follow the This Is Small Business podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss out on those fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show.
So number one, we talked about was fuel. Number two, contest funnels. Number three, transition from all-star to courts to coach. Number four, understanding the difference between strategic thinkers, managers, and doers, and how they all fit in your organization. And then the number five thing that was probably my last biggest takeaway for this year is as we're growing ClickFunnels, I feel bad. How many of you guys, like, when you open up Facebook or Instagram, all you see is my face like 8,000 times a day? I'm so sorry for that. But for a long time, like, I've been the attractive character of ClickFunnels. Therefore, my face is out there, you know, like all those things. And so it's like, that's what's out there. And it's like, eventually it gets so saturated, you can't keep growing with your one face, your one brand, your one thing. You know, at $100 million, you know, at $1 million, it's easy to keep pushing and getting your face out there. At $100 million, it's like, man, we're spending millions of dollars a month, like, on my face. Like, there's only so many people in this world, like, it gets insane. So I was like, how do I do this? And also, like, let's say we did want to sell ClickFunnels someday, or if, let's say I wanted to retire or whatever, like, if my face is on the front of everything, it's not a very good asset for somebody else to buy, right? And so this year we started, like, having this idea of, like, okay, what are the other front ends we can create for ClickFunnels that aren't Russell Brunson's face? Okay, so that was the question. That was the kind of the concept. And you will notice over the next 12 months inside our company, all the new things are happening. We tested a couple. Like, one of them, we had Kaylin Pullen, who just had her baby yesterday, by the way. She did a webinar. She did kind of my Funnel Hacks webinar, but she did her version of it. And that's done amazing well. Sold great. And it's like, people are hearing Kaylin's story and they come to ClickFunnels. They don't even know who I am, which is fantastic, right? So that's like, that's one example. Some of them I can't tell you the details about it yet, but we are in the process right now. We just signed letters of intent of acquiring a really large company. And the sole reason why we're doing that, because it gives me the ability to create dozens and dozens of front ends that aren't Russell, that aren't my face, right? That will lead people to ClickFunnels, but they aren't my face, which is essential, right? So you guys will find out probably the end of quarter one, maybe early quarter two, about that acquisition, as long as it goes through, it should. And I'll talk more about it and the strategy behind it, because it's so exciting. But it's like we have a letter of intent signed, but the deal's not, like, inked. So I gotta wait on that one. Another partnership where I'm doing work. Again, all the deals and the partnership things I'm doing right now are all about, like, how can this be a front end that doesn't require Russell Brunson's face? And so for you, I want to start thinking through the same thing. Like, what are other front ends you create for your business that aren't always you focused? Are they a success story? Like, most of our ads that we're developing now, we're capturing success stories of our users. Like, our users are becoming the face of ClickFunnels. Our users are becoming the front ends. It's not just, not just Russell, not just his books, not just his things, right? It's the users are the ads. And then we're getting influencers, making funny videos with influencers as ads. We're creating new software programs that aren't just built into ClickFunnels, because we're building these tools externally where we can sell to bring people on the back end into ClickFunnels, right? So we're just building all these funnels, these front-end things that aren't me. Because if you see 22 Russell ads in a row, you know, your likelihood of buying goes down every single ad, right? Because either you bought or you're really annoyed with me, right? But if you see an ad for me, and then you see an ad from Tony Robbins, and you see an ad from these other things that aren't related, but they all push back to the same core thing, there's magic there. So you'll see this next year will be the year of a lot of funnels for our team. We're building our agency really, really large. We're doing it with the goal and the focus of, it's not Russell Funnels. I'll give you a couple examples to get the wheels in your head spinning. Like, for example, Grant Cardone, we went and built a book funnel for him with the first 10X book, right? We flew on his plane and, like, filled in the whole funnel there. And so if you look at that book funnel, if you go and you buy if you buy the book through it on the thank you page, then basically it pushes people into ClickFunnels. So now we can target Grant and his audience, his people. He pays the ad dollars to sell his book. and thank you page. It sells ClickFunnels, and then we send a percentage of this, you know, affiliate commissions back to him. So it's a win-win where, you know, we're able to help him drive traffic and sell a lot of books, which then in turn sells ClickFunnels, right? We're trying to do the same deal with Robert Kiyosaki and potentially other people as well, where it's like we're helping them on the front end funnels, and then in exchange we get customers on the back end. Like, how many deals are there like that that you can create where it's like, I'm not necessarily the front, I'm able to leverage all these other people. So now in the news feed, you see Russell's face sell my book, but you see Tony Robbins' book, you see Grant Cardone's book, you see who else's books, right? You see those things and you buy them, and then it's like on the back end, you're introducing ClickFunnels. And now it's like I can acquire a lot more customers, a lot different type of customers through that process. So anyway, there's kind of a vague way to explain it. You will see that is my strategic vision for the year, and you'll see it coming true over the next 12 months. And next year when we're doing the same podcast, you'll be like, oh, that's what he's talking about. So cool. I see it all fits together. All right, so those are the five biggest things. As I was going through my list today, just thinking of the biggest takeaways from the year that I think could help you guys. So number one is looking at food as fuel. How are you fueling your body? And knowing that right now Russell spends $100 a day on supplements to fuel his body, like what can you do different? Maybe you don't eat cereal for breakfast. Maybe you eat cereal for dinner when you're ready to go to bed, but you eat eggs for breakfast, or you eat ketones for breakfast, or you skip breakfast altogether to keep your energy high, right? So fuel is number one. Number two is the power of challenge funnels and contest funnels. If you want to see ours in action, go to onefunnelway.com. But this is now the core front end to all of our businesses. All of our books and everything will lead to this, and this leads and sends people up our value ladder. Number three, my personal role transitioning from the all-star on my team to transitioning to a coach. I think for all of you guys, the faster you can make that transition from all-star to coach, the faster you can grow and start scaling your companies. Number four is understanding the different types of thinkers, the strategic thinkers, the managers, and the doers, understanding that all three of these roles are essential for success in your company, and you got to figure out who you are and surround yourselves with the others. And then number five, creating different front ends for your company that aren't just you. So there you go. There's five big things for my year. My guess is most of you guys listening to this, only one or two of those things will actually resonate with you right now. And that's totally cool. Some of you guys aren't in a spot where you have one front end working, let alone a whole bunch of other front ends. So don't even worry about that now. But some of you guys are like, you're tired and you try to get stuff done and you can't focus. And it's like, man, the fuel you're putting in your body is destroying your ability to compete, right? So it's like fixing your fuel is your biggest thing. Or it's like, maybe I have a funnel, but it's not going that way. Maybe I make a contest funnel in the front end. Like, each of you guys, hopefully there's something you can pick from it that'll benefit you specifically. And then maybe check out this podcast again a year from now, and then some of the other ones may pop out for you. But anyway, hopefully that helps you guys. Appreciate you all. Thanks for listening. And with that said, I will talk to you guys all again very, very soon. Bye, everybody.
Want more marketing secrets? If so, then go get your copies of my two best-selling books. Book number one is called Expert Secrets, and you can get a free copy at expertsecrets.com. And book number two is called .com Secrets, and you can get your free copy at .comsecrets.com. Inside these two books, you'll find my top 35 secrets that we've used to become the fastest growing non-VC-backed SaaS startup company in the world.